Hey.
Welcome back to the podcast.
It's great to be here.
All right, just so you know, he gets his proper introduction.
No, I don't need it. I don't need it. I was actually thinking about how certain podcasts, that's uncomfortably close, certain podcasts, they just jump right into it. Like,
it's
like they pick it up in mid-conversation. Well, I think it's when they have, I don't listen to your show, but I listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and he had Larry David on the other day, and they just were right in the middle of the conversation when it started recording. And I thought I really like that feature. So let's do that.
Oh, you mean maybe you should apologize to your wife who's been in broadcasting for literally coming up on 20 years, darling, of a broadcast career.
That means you started broadcasting when you were when you were 10 years old?
No, like 22.
I was trying to do a math joke about how young you
are. I'm 39 now, so very young.
I invested in those 3-9 candles, a whole 10 pack of them.
I told you we were way ahead of the trend last week when I was like, schman, like jump right in. You're like, I need a proper introduction.
I think our son's crying.
No,
yeah,
is he really?
He might be.
Okay, we'll just leave him in this room for like another 40 minutes.
Parent of the year.
I am. He's fine. He's in a crib. He can't go anywhere. Okay. So we have a lot to cover today on the show. We have to talk a big update on our IVF journey. Mm-hmm. Kim Mulkey, who is the women's LSU coach, because there's huge NCAA women's basketball.
We're talking sports here on the Sarah Fraser Show.
I love sports when it intersects with pop culture, but mm-hmm. big hit piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't think it was that big?
I don't think it was a hit piece.
Washington Post did a piece. We'll talk about mm-hmm. that. Lizzo has quit the music business. And then we met some new friends over the weekend. And
we'll see if they're still our friends.
Well, I feel like I have you ever made a comment about your significant other and then you regretted it and you couldn't really apologize? Like then you didn't get an apology in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so you're wondering if you said this in public.
It's an awkward moment.
Are the people judging mm-hmm. you?
They are, okay. But that's gone.
Well, let's start with what people are curious about, which is our IVF journey. And we have an update that we are not continuing our mm-hmm. IVF journey.
Do you want to talk about that? I'm going to go check with our son.
Yes.
I'm going to go set him up. You give us the update. I'm listening. I'll be right back.
Bring him in here. He can be part of the show. All right. So you guys are going to continue to follow this fertility journey, but here's what happened. We are not continuing IVF, okay? We were getting ready to do our second round. And just to get you up to speed, if you haven't been following this, Schman and I have been trying to have baby number two for almost 2 years now. And we get pregnant, but we have not been able to stay pregnant with healthy eggs. So the eggs have some sort of, or the eggs and the sperm together have some sort of genetic abnormality. And we were advised in the fall, we were with an IVF doctor and she basically said, no, don't do IVF. It's never going to work for you. Go to egg donor. And I didn't really love that clinic anyway. I felt like you were just an ATM for them and everything was super rushed and they were always 30 minutes late. I have a huge issue with that. It's a very LA thing. But here, and this is when you are paying out of pocket, even if you're paying via insurance, I don't care. Every doctor's office you go to here, 20, 30 minutes late. I mean, there's no excuse. Like, how did they expect us to pay for these calls and these appointments? You know, I do have a job. I do have to be somewhere. I have a son. Anyhow, rant over. So I didn't love her. She's very popular here and everybody said go to her. They have a very low success rate of doing IVF for women in their 40s. So I got some other opinions and I was recommended to a clinic in San Ramon, California, which is about 6 hours from here, that has the highest success rate for IVF for women in their 40s. And the reason that I did IVF is because I did the hormone panel for your AMH and FSH. And my AMH was 1.31. My FSH was like, I don't even remember, 10 or 15, something like that. But really pretty good for my age. So we decided that we were going to do IVF. We do the first round. I do the shots, you know, everything. Felt tired, felt bloated, all the things that people said. And we started out with 12 follicles, 9 follicles, 9, 12 follicles, somewhere in there. So it was huge. The doctor's office said, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. You're starting out with these. Oh my God. Okay. I start the Gonalef, the Menopur. Every single day, I'm not kidding you because you go for sonograms every other day. Every other day, the eggs would just disappear. They wouldn't disappear. They would get so big and they would just kind of let them go. They become so big that they end up you end up probably like kind of, you're kind of ovulating. And so the eggs are too big. They're going to be genetically abnormal. And they want them to be at a certain millimeter. So I went from having, let's say, 12 eggs to, by the day before my retrieval, down to potentially six total that might be successful. And even prior to that, hi, come here, you wanna come on. Oh,
you
guys
want something?
Hey, you wanna say hi to, everybody?
No.
Super, you know, two or three more kids sounds awesome, so anyway. Okay, and the day before, and like a couple days before, prior to my first, retrieval, when it was set up, the other thing was I call and I'm like, hey, I have this drug in my refrigerator, Zomactin. When am I supposed to take it? And they were like, you were supposed to take that days ago. They were supposed to prescribe you the Zomactin. It's an HCG, it's human growth hormone, and some studies suggest that it helps with egg quality when when you get your eggs retrieved. Okay, so they missed that. Then the day before my retrieval, the doctor was, in hindsight, was amazing to call me and say, look, I don't think this retrieval is going to work. We're down to maybe 4 eggs. The drugs did not work. Your eggs should be growing all together at the same size, and you should have like 9 eggs at this point. And then hopefully from that, we get 2 genetically normal. All right, so we're going to do it all again. We spent money on the hotel. We go up there. We come back. This time, they're going to do a different protocol. Lupron, Gonalef, Menopur. I was on birth control for probably about 2 weeks. And then we're going to start these cycles. So I do a sonogram last week. And I have to say, even the doctors, like, so the doctor called me and the clinic was like, yeah, everything looks good. I mean, you know, nothing alarming. And my doctor called and she's like, yeah, I'm hoping this protocol is better. It did not sound, I'm going to be honest with you, it didn't sound great. It really didn't. I'm sure because they don't want to give you any false hope, especially at my age. They don't want to give you any false hope. They want, you know, to be realistic. So I'm like, all right, well, she sounds a little skeptical, but okay, we're moving forward. So the other thing is I talked to the pharmacy to get our drugs sent to us. And they knew that the drugs, I talked to them on the phone. They were working with us and giving us a discount because the IVF clinic had missed the Zomactin and, you know, had encouraged us to do a second round. So we'd spoken to the manager. We'd gone all through this, that the drugs were to be delivered March 27th because I was starting my Lupron shots the 28th. March 27th comes around, all in the afternoon. No delivery. And, you know, you have to be at your house because they have to deliver them in person. They have to be refrigerated immediately, some of them, and you have to sign for them. So we're waiting, nothing. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I get this message from FedEx. This FedEx is canceled. Here's your new tracking number. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe that just means they're coming later. I call the clinic. They're like, oh, no, they're not coming later. We had a mess up. You told us you wanted them delivered the 28th. And I'm like, I don't want them delivered the 28th. And if that were the case, why did you just send me a canceled tracking number for the 27th? We go back and forth. Guys, then they said, well, we'll ship them to you Thursday morning. You'll get them midday. My first Lupron shot was supposed to start at 6 a.m. And they're like, don't worry. You can just start later in the afternoon and then you'll take another one and you have to pick up the drugs at a FedEx center. And I thought, no, this is the final sign for me. This process, do you ever feel in life that sometimes there are so many roadblocks that God is trying to redirect you? This process for us has been like that, okay? There were too many mistakes. I have had girlfriends that have done 5 rounds of IVF, that have done 11 rounds of IVF, that have done 3 rounds. They've never had their IVF clinic mess up one medication. They've never had the pharmacy deliver late. Now, I realize there's human error to this, and sometimes, you're back.
Well, we had to settle down our child. The joys of working from home.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm on to the story of IVF.
Want to take it from the top?
No, okay. No, I don't. So anyhow, there were so many missteps with this process. I truly believe that we are being redirected in this whole thing.
Who's redirecting us?
The universe, a higher power, okay. God. I mean, I just was giving them the whole thing. We're up to speed as to, you know, the day that the drugs were misdelivered. Then they were going to be delivered on the day that we started. And everybody said, oh, don't worry, you can just start later. And I'm like, no, we've spent thousands of dollars at that pharmacy. I called the IVF clinic and I just said, everything that you did for us, I want to pay for. I'm not looking to make a stink. I want our money back for the procedure that you have not done, which is the egg retrieval, the anesthesia. We canceled the drugs. I said, no, I'm not. There's too many to me roadblocks. I truly believe when things are meant for you, when things happen, they happen easily. We were meant to have KJ. It was so easy. I realize we're older. Some things are going to happen, but we are also people that we're willing to do an egg donor. We are going to try one more time on our own. I believe that we are meant to foster to adopt. We're going to try that. Doesn't mean that that will work out for us. I know it's going to be an emotional process and it might be too emotional, but we're going to look for these other options. And I feel very good. To me, that was the final sign. I am not moving forward with IVF.
Hard stop. Done.
No, how do you feel?
I don't necessarily subscribe to the belief that there are signs. I think there are things that can raise concerns, alleviate concerns, and these just continue to raise concerns. And so I look at it less as a directive from a higher power and more of, we don't feel comfortable about this, so let's move on. And we are.
Is there any disappointment for you in not continuing the process?
No.
Really?
No, I'm ready. As I reflect on this, I mean, everyone needs to gauge. There are so many factors that come into how you decide: your age, your bandwidth,
right,
your insurance, your mentality. So there are plenty of options to proceed. Plenty of, you know, horror stories along the way, but also plenty of success stories. And we are going to do what we need to do. I mean, outside of kidnapping a child, to increase our family. I'm making sure that that is clearly stated. So
as a joke,
yeah, of course.
Yes.
It'd be like Raising Arizona if we did that. But anyways, go on.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the movie reference.
No problem. It's a very good one.
I couldn't agree with you more. I do subscribe to signs, and I do think all the way along that there were too many mishaps. And by the way, personally, and I mean, David and Annie from 90 Day Fiancé, it all comes back to TLC for me. They are, they've been on my podcast. They are coming out here from Arizona to go to a specific clinic. They're having a lot of success.
David and Annie are?
Yes, but she's also 30 or 31. Yeah. It's a difference. But I will say I give hats off to every woman on this podcast that's listened and written to me. And IVF is a lot of work. It's a lot. It's a dedication. It's you're on the phone. You're figuring things out. It's a mental battle. It's a health battle.
I think as we have gone through these ups and downs, and you get listeners, family members, friends who share their stories with you, you realize you're not alone. And that's, in one sense, comforting.
But I also realized I had this idea, which is not the IVF clinic's fault. They've been very lovely, very understanding about the new direction we're going in. But, you know, I don't know any. I know one woman at the age of 41 who did one round of IVF and got like 20 eggs. But most people.
It's quite a harvest.
It was quite a harvest. But most people, it's rounds and rounds and rounds. And so it's just like for me, not really you, I think you're more realistic, but for me to think I was going to come into this process and do it twice. And then if it didn't work, you know, that was that. It's just not even really realistic, because you have to be in it to win it. Mm-hmm. And that might be one round or that might be eight.
Yeah.
Which to me, the average woman that I know, it's like four.
Well, and you're not. You're anything but average.
So anyway, we're on to the next. We're on to the next.
On to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I was sad for the morning that we pulled the plug. But I'm actually not that. See, I also think that's a sign. I'm not thinking about it. Are you?
No.
I'm not having any second guesses. I'm not thinking about it.
No, we've moved on.
All right.
Turned the page.
We've turned the page. And we're going to be taking, you're on this new journey. You Natural, have you heard about this, for conception for men?
Let's hear it. No. What is this?
Did you know you're starting to take it? Well.
This is an intro. Is this an ad read?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out.
Well, no, it's more of a shout out.
Tell me about it, because this is exciting, because the listeners are going to hear about it much like I am for the first time. So let's hear it.
All right. You Natural and I have been in talks. They said to me, we've been following your fertility journey. We are known for a conception for her and a conception for him, multivitamin, essentially.
Okay.
They can never make any promises, but you can go and read their independent 5-star reviews that they have. And it regulates your semen, my ovulation, helps with
regulators. Mount up.
You take it twice a day. I'm not sure if the men do. So I am on this journey with You Natural, and I put out there and I asked you guys if you took it, and my friend Alicia said yes, she took it, and that's how she conceived her healthy daughter.
Okay, well, let's. I look forward to learning more about this.
Well, You Natural is going to be on a lot. If you want to try their bundle, you can use our code FRASER20. You go to Amazon.com. You Natural is spelled E-U, Natural. Put in Fraser, FRASER 20. You're getting 20% off your entire order. Now, they're also known for their amazing prenatal vitamins. They have an awesome metabolism vitamin that a lot of people say helps keep them healthy, keeps their weight regulated. And beyond that, they are known for amazing fertility aids for women. So, You Natural, UE Natural, Fraser 20, to get 20% off their bundle. And they're going to have some experts on, and they want to help us still believe.
Do I need to go down to Amazon and get this? Or are they?
They sent you some. You're going to be trying it.
All right. I can't wait.
I've already been taking it, and it's been great.
Oh, I've noticed. Wink.
Hero Breads. Oh, my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it, slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at HERO.CO. How ironic. I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of, are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller-driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcasts, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You've noticed my ovulation. Well, my ovulation's a little off, so I'm hoping it regulates, because I just did birth control, had a period for a week, so now I'm hoping that my U-Natural helps regulate it. But you've got to start taking it, because in a month, one more cycle, and then we're banging it out and trying for a baby. Okay. So there's our update with IVF. Let's talk about Kim Mulkey, the LSU coach. This was a big – LSU in the news – huge games. Caitlin Clark is...
Well, they play... When does this episode drop?
Well, tomorrow.
Okay, so, well, tonight... Well, the night before.
Right, we don't know the
results. No spoilers. But LSU plays Iowa in a rematch of the national championship. And Kim Mulkey is a divisive coach in women's college basketball. She's a personality. And she came out like a week ago when at one of her NCAA press conferences, lambasting the Washington Post for a hit piece, threatening to sue them for libel. And
I know why.
Why she's threatening to sue
them? Well, I mean, the opening of the article alludes to the fact that she's homophobic. She and Brittany Griner, and of course, Brittany Griner is the basketball player that was held in Russia, and then what?
I was going to continue leading the update. Some people don't know what we're talking about. Gosh, this welcome to my world where you just in like it's like in like a episode of our example of Inception where you're just like, where are we? Anyways, she came out, threatened litigation, slammed the media, and then of course the article dropped yesterday. Where the article also, I don't think it was necessarily a hit piece like she claimed it was going to be.
Well, I thought it was genius that she did the preemptive press conference.
How so?
Because I think anytime you get ahead of a story, it absolutely deflates the story. Because when you come out, Dave Letterman has famously done this when he was being blackmailed for having an affair. Kim's now doing it. But when you come out, Dave Portnoy is a genius at it. When you come out and you control the narrative and you say, this person is coming for me. And it really works because now people have lost trust in the press. So when you say they're looking for a hit piece, they're looking for views, which is essentially what she alluded to. It sets the tone for people to go, well, they're not giving her a fair shake. Now, in the article,
they gave her a fair shake. They've been trying to contact her for 2 years.
Yeah. And keep going. You have a lot to say.
Well, I just think that the story was, I don't think it was necessarily a hit piece. It was not flattering, but it was also, I mean, there were compliments to it in terms of her success. And I think it also tends to humanize her to some degree in regards to what her family life is or was. And I mean, she doesn't come across as generally a nice person. But at the same time, you know, a lot of coaches are, there are successful coaches. Use Bill Belichick as an example, who are not necessarily warm, fluffy individuals, but they are able to make their team successful and help them win and help their players find success. So my general thought with this is that you want to legitimize women's sports, put them under the same microscope as male athletes are and male coaches are. So yeah, you know what? Congrats. You had a quote unquote hit piece written about you. Well, you've put yourself in the spotlight and you've earned that opportunity.
I think I agree. I thought the same thing about equality. I'm like, this is awesome. She seems much like Bill Belichick after we watched Patriots Dynasty.
She dresses a little snazzier than Bill.
Yeah, Bill. Yeah. But Bill was deliberate in the outfits. Mm-hmm. I think his outfits were designed to not draw attention to Bill, you know, to draw attention to everything on the field. But I can see what in it for you do you think she might have libel? Which to me, what I was saying with the Brittany Griner thing is they allege that she's homophobic, essentially, that she tells players, don't flash your sexuality, don't talk about your sexuality. She wants them to dress much like I think Bill Belichick wanted people. You are not a distraction to this team. We don't want you out there being flashy. Kim can.
Sure.
But, now, hold on. Let me finish.
Sorry, my
let
apologies. Me finish wow. Right in here. What a rude host.
No, you're a rude guest.
Go ahead, continue. See if I'm on next week.
And so, come here. Okay. I think she didn't like. And she and Brittany Griner famously did not get along, do not like one another, regardless of Brittany Griner being captive in Russia.
Well, a lot of the stuff about Griner and her players at Baylor, It's common knowledge. I mean, Briner had a autobiography. I'm sure it was ghostwritten, but an autobiography that flushed all that out. So, and I think there are, Mulkey is very singular in the sense of team first, team first, team first. And I get that, but there is a, you know, I think with women's sports, college basketball, women's soccer, there are large portions of the playing population who are lesbian or who are not heterosexual.
I don't really believe that part, and they don't say she's homophobic. They allude to.
Well, it's hard to gauge from the article whether she's homophobic or if she just doesn't care about your personal life, and that's what it seemed to be, is that she would brush away players who want to, you know, who have issues or concerns, and she would direct them to the assistant coaches and say, like, I don't want to hear about this. And to me, as a coach, I mean, that's part of the job that we do. It's not, here's your, the expression that gets thrown around a lot. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and Joes, right? It's about the personal relationships. So I feel like that piece, if that is who she truly is, well, you know, there will come a time when she retires, when she moves on, when she passes away, and everything that's going to be written about her was that she was a good coach but a terrible human being. And maybe that's enough to sue, but it doesn't sound like, you know, the players who play for her at LSU seem bought in. So I think there's a lot of coaches and teams can create this us against the world narrative. And that can bind your team together.
What about, okay, so you are a coach. For people that don't know this, you are a youth soccer coach. You have been for almost two decades. You mm-hmm. coach at the highest level, mm-hmm. private club soccer. But when you read this, I mean, you have an amazing coaching style. Now, granted, you're coaching usually kids under the ages of 12, you know, so it's a different animal at that point. It's not as competitive, even though we know some of the parents mm-hmm. like to make it that way.
It can be competitive.
Yeah. So, but when you have looked at all kinds of different coaching styles, which style do you think works the best?
I think it depends on the player, and it depends on the age and the level. There, it's hard to, I think it comes back to whatever your personality is, and what, you know, I'll use another coach as an example for this, and Tom Izzo, who's Michigan State's coach.
Oh, we love right? Michigan State.
And he was on another podcast recently. I won't say which podcast it was because we don't give plugs to other podcasts.
I know what one it was.
But he was talking about his intensity with players. And the reality is we as spectators might only see the coach's intensity with the player during that game. But chances are that's not the first time that player has made that mistake, or it's not the first time the coach has corrected it. And there, we don't know. And generally speaking, a good coach is going to know, I don't like using the term buttons to push, but will know how to motivate a player, whether to get in their face or not. Mm-hmm. And some coaches will get in every player's face, but I don't think that's necessarily the right solution to treat everyone the same. You have to treat everyone as an individual, and some players are going to want to be screamed at and others aren't. So you have to find the right buttons to push with each player, because if you don't, then they shut down or you don't get the best out of them.
So good. I love it. I'm really into women's basketball now.
Clearly.
Well, I'm upset too. This article made me realize I was born in the wrong era. Because did Kim play for LSU as well, like in the 80s?
She played for, I think it was Louisiana Tech that she played for.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She was only 5'4".
Yeah.
You know, I'm 5'4".
I saw some of her highlights as a player. You could have played back in that day.
I'm so depressed because I am only 5'3". Mm-hmm. Played in Maine. You know, we went 0-18 one year, mm-hmm. and then we went 2-16.
Well, and then you got kicked off the team.
Then I got kicked off the team because I broke up with the coach's son. But I really missed my calling, because in the 80s, you could be 5'3", and you could have played at college-level ball.
Could have been.
I could have been a baller.
And then maybe you could have been a coach, and then you would have been dressing outlandishly on the sidelines.
I love it. I thought it was great equal treatment. I'm a fair-weather sports fan. I can't say—
I just thought you said you were a fan of women's college basketball.
Well, I'm a new fan. Okay, let me make a correction.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. You're... Right.
No, you were saying you're a Fairweather fan.
You know, when we get to the topic about me mistakenly calling you a loser in front of our new friends, now I'm sticking by it. Mm. You're acting like a loser.
Where are we going next?
Lizzo. We got to get our son. What are your thoughts on Lizzo announcing that she's quitting? That she is quitting music. Yeah, this was big over the weekend. She put out on her social media that she is quitting and walking away from the business, that she did not sign up for the level of abuse that she has been receiving. She wrote, "I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of every joke every time because of how I look, my character being picked apart by people who don't know me, and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this. I'm out. I quit." And everybody's flooding her account. The world needs you. Lizzy, never quit. Just rest. I literally love you so, so much.
I'm reminded, because it's somewhat topical, because it was on the internets recently. You know, I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. We talked about him the other day.
Batman movies. Mm-hmm,
there's a line from The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Where Harvey Dent, played by Aaron Eckhart, is having dinner with Bruce Wayne, played by Christian Bale, and they're speculating about who the Batman is, and he says, and this line was written by Christopher Nolan's brother, and there was an article about it recently about how Christopher Nolan was kind of plagued by it because he didn't think the line was that good, but it's pretty much been one of the most quoted lines from the film, which is, "You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain."
Brilliant.
Right?
Such a brilliant line.
And I think it's that movie's 10, 15 years old. And I think the takeaway out of that is, you know, with Lizzo, she came in hot, right? She came in as, she won a couple Grammys. She came in as not your typical pop music star in a physical build. She twerked and she was part of that Biden fundraiser with Clinton and Obama in New York a couple days ago or last week. So she's had quite a rise, but you know, there is always a bargain or part of that deal is that you can't have success without courting attention. So, we'll come in a second. He wants to watch Jackson Storm. No free plugs, Cars 3.
Spring Break. Look, I always say, like, I hope she actually does it. This is the problem. They all say this, mm-hmm. and then everyone floods to their, "Oh, don't do it. We love you. You've got to stay." And then they come back. Chrissy Teigen, they all do that. Like, actually quit.
You think so?
Let's see.
Money
it.
Where your mouth is. Let's quit.
They won't. She won't.
Put your money
quit.
Where your flute is.
This is such a ploy for tell me how great I am. Tell me how good, how much you need me.
You don't think Lizzo deserves mental health?
She just did a fundraiser. I think everybody deserves mental health, but I am tired of people signing up for. That line is brilliant. Okay,
you die
the hero when you're young, which is everybody that's ever died young, or you live long enough, and now Oprah's the villain. Mm-hmm. Kim Mulkey's the villain. She's been in it so long. Bill Belichick, the brilliance of Bill Belichick. Now he's the villain. Get the fuck over yourself. I'm so tired of these people. It's like, then do actually quit. Delete your social media.
When?
But it's still up. She'll be back. She's still, you know, this is just like, I need to hear you guys. And I think, again, she's being sued for being a terrible person. I've never met Lizzo. I don't know. People can say and do anything. But that's what the internet is now. Like, when, you know, I don't know, when are we going to have a class for people to realize what this game is all about?
You're signing up for this.
No, but it's also psychological. People love to build people up. They love to tear them down, and then they build them back up again. You've got to be in it for the long haul. And if her intention is to make the world a little bit better, then wouldn't you stay in it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you put out a song? Wouldn't you resolve if you did treat these
maybe
people
you should,
poorly?
Maybe you should message her on Instagram.
I don't have time. Okay. She can tune into the podcast or tune out. I don't care.
Lizzo, we're calling you
but
out.
But I don't believe if you were serious, then you'd delete your social. But she's making a fortune off that post. And she'll be back. They're always all back.
Okay. These 5 minutes of sympathy were brought to you by... You natural. Oh, I don't know if you have an ad break.
It's very easy. Your mental health is very easy. Delete your social media. Mm-hmm. You want to know today how you could feel better about life? Delete all social media. Go down to a coffee shop. Sit there. Make eye contact. Before you know it, you will talk to someone who has a story that will resonate with you.
Is that what that you do? Why people always?
I do it all the time to recharge my mental health. And I pray TikTok is
That's
canceled.
Why I don't make eye contact
and Mark Zuckerberg
with
is canceled. It would be lovely to get rid of all these social medias.
Fair enough. Good point.
All right. Lastly, I need people's help. We went out with friends of ours who we really love.
Yeah. Nice couple.
Very nice couple. They have a little boy around KJ's age. And speaking of, do you mind? I'll just pause this. I'll do a commercial.
No,
do you mind checking on him?
Yeah, you do the commercial. I'll check on our son.
Okay. So before I tell you about calling Dan a loser in front of our new friends and then feeling guilty. My friend Dr. Will Neem at Horizon Fibroids, 80% of women will have a fibroid by the age of 50. Ladies, many of you are getting iron transfusions, blood transfusions. They can create heavy periods, long periods, and fibroids can create infertility. My cousin is dealing with fibroids and she's trying to have another baby. She has to resolve that. And that may be why she's been having trouble getting pregnant. Don't be in that boat. Also, lots of times our OBGYNs only tell you to get a hysterectomy, and that's not always the case. Go to horizonfibroids.com. They have 3 locations in Maryland, Rockville, Gaithersburg, and Frederick. They take almost all insurance. You can find out if they take your insurance by going to horizonfibroids.com. Check them out right there. Tell Dr. Will Neem that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you. All right, Schman, I need you back. Baby, come back to me, baby. So I'll set the scene up a little bit. He can hear me. We go out with our friends that we like a lot, and they introduced us to this new couple on Easter. So we're hanging out. The new couple also has a little boy. And... The boys are all playing. They're having a really great time. And we all started talking and telling stories of how we all met, how we met and got married. And one, the new couple that we met on Bumble. And our friends met at college, Chelsea and Sean. And then they wanted to know how we met. And I go, oh, I met him on an airplane. I was drunk. I started talking. They like all loved that. Everybody always loves our marriage
story. It's a great meet cute.
And then I said, you know, we had a weather delay, so we got off the plane. We all drank at Senor Frog's, and then we got back on. And
it wasn't Senor Frog's, but that's a funny reference.
Tomato, tomato. This isn't a Washington Post story. And clearly. So, you know, and then I said, you know, I kind of sobered up, and I thought, oh, this loser. What am I going to give? So I say this, and Sean's like, oh, my God. They're all, like, flabbergasted that I called you a loser. The whole place went quiet. And then you were like, oh, well, in fairness, she'd come off some rough relationships. And anyhow, here's the thing. Then the rest of the day, I couldn't concentrate because I felt terrible. I adore you so much, and you are such a good spouse. And I feel like I left them with calling you a loser. Like, I felt like we were that couple that, you know how those couples, you know them, and they are very snarky with each other and lots of digs and innuendos. And so I feel like these new people were looking at us as though, oh, they have a weird relationship. Sean couldn't believe I called you a loser. And then I never got to repair it by saying, I almost wanted to stop the conversation and go, excuse me, everybody, I want to go back to an hour and a half ago when I called my husband a loser. But then I thought that might embarrass you more.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think in that moment?
Well, you know, I guess I'm just used to being called a loser in our relationship. Yes. As you throw things at me and hit me. I guess I'm used to this abuse. So I was just numb to it when you mentioned it to everyone. I think you meant... In retelling the story, maybe who is this random guy? Who is this stranger? Not so much a loser.
Correct. That's what I was saying. And right. And I was like kind of drunk. I didn't know if you were worth it. I can't even really remember what you looked like. You know, that's what I was trying to convey.
How drunk were you?
Oh my God, wasted. That's right.
You guys were schmammered. I remember.
Oh my God. Yeah. We drank all day. I actually got on the intercom system for Southwest. Because
JetBlue,
whatever. And Ken. This isn't. Thank God.
No, I remember because you guys were so obnoxious while waiting in the terminal.
That's right.
I almost went over and said something like, "Well, you guys settle down." Wouldn't that have been awkward? And then we sat next to each other. Another sliding doors moment. I was not offended. Honestly, I didn't even think of it. And I didn't necessarily even hear or see their reaction. Oh. So I don't. It might be a nothing burger. But,
all right.
But maybe you just soured the one local couple that we have a friendship with and another local couple who we could have been friends with.
Well, here's what I need people's advice with. Now we're going to all go to dinner to celebrate our friend Chelsea's birthday this coming Friday. And should I make an announcement at the table? Just like a clink, clink, like... Excuse me. Hi, friends.
Sounds like you have a guilty conscience here.
Well, I adore you. Here's one of the things. I always, when I got married, I remember this about my parents distinctly. They would always speak, now I'm going to cry, but they always would speak well of each other in public. Like always, they always made it a point to, they always thought it was like important to have each other's back and to always say good things about people. And so, I don't know. I just get emotional, but because I loved their marriage. But so I just think it's important to speak well of your spouse.
I agree.
And I'm bad.
No harm, no foul. And you can just speak ill of me behind closed doors.
Well, I do.
Yeah, I've heard
I do.
It.
I talk. Well, no, I don't have many complaints. Except you're not a great driver.
Here come the up gear. Yeah, don't have a lot of complaints, but one, here's this, and then two. And
well, you're not a terrific driver. I'll be honest.
Appreciate
you
that.
Have a little bit of road rage, and you don't have good spatial understanding. Like you're often hitting curbs and stuff. So. Mm-hmm. That part. But anyway, no, I just think it's important to speak well of your spouse.
Are there any other criticisms and feedback to provide audience?
No, okay. I that's the thing. I think it's important to speak well of each other. Okay. So I felt guilty.
Well.
All right, so I shouldn't
I don't
say
think
anything.
I don't think you need to say anything. And maybe they tune in today and they hear it and be like, oh, this woman's an even bigger whack job than I thought.
All right, well, you know what? I got to go. David Yontif has sent me 15 texts.
David, give it a rest. I don't know if you listen in on the days that you're not working with my wife, but we're recording today.
No, he only listens to our, don't worry. He only listens to the episodes that he's
good.
On.
Well,
so there you go.
I guess I can talk smack about you, David. Just kidding. We like you, David.
We love David Yontif. All right, good. I love you. I want to hear if anyone else has ever made that mistake.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of people.
Well, you also then did just accuse me on the... All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Goodbye. You can follow me on TikTok at The Sarah Fraser Show. Shman! Anywhere people can follow you?
No, leave me alone.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.